start for Capital Call this morning, but you've already heard from our legislative team and Chairman Sears. Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie, and good morning to all our listeners. I hope everything's going well, and just say greetings, and boy, isn't it just a beautiful day?
It is.
Just absolutely gorgeous.
It was a nice day here on Monday when we had Greg Garland in, and of course the superintendent to open up the STEM labs at Portland High School.
That was, she told us about that. Let our listeners know, this is always a busy 2 weeks. This last week was extremely busy. Representative Dunlap and I were on the floor last night. Well, we started about 9 in the morning and went till about 7:30 last night. I think the Senate wrapped up around the 4 o'clock hour, but they've heard all the Senate bills. We've heard all the House bills, and if it didn't make it last night, then a House bill, then it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it won't come back in an amendment some way, but right now, I mean, it's just an extremely busy week. But I want to talk about three things that I was very pleased with this week. I mean, a lot of good bills. We just don't have enough time to mention all of them, but there are three points
I want to
make.
Give me your top three.
Pardon me?
Give me your top three then.
Yeah, here they are. First of all, I'm very pleased that we put together the supplements very quickly to $51 million to public education and $27.5 million from rainy day fund to go to corrections. And we're very, very pleased with that. There was no questions. We already knew that corrections was going to have a problem before the end of the fiscal year. Quite frankly, we thought maybe sometime in April, but it doesn't make any difference. We knew that was out there. But when we had the second revenue failure, that just spotlighted, highlighted the education concerns. And I'm very, very proud of both caucuses, how quickly we moved in regards to stabilizing, taking $51 million from the rainy day fund to get out to our education, our schools. I think the Senate passed that yesterday on the floor. We've got to go through the process, first read, et cetera. We won't be able to vote on those bills until Wednesday of next week, but at least I guess I'll say the cavalry's on the way.
Right, so an agreement in principle.
Right. And then the other two is, again, a lot of bills, but there's two that I was very, very pleased about. We did pass the second bond proposal to finish the people of Oklahoma's capital. I'm very, very invested in that.
You have or still serve on that capital improvement committee?
Yes, I serve on the capital improvement, and when it's done, we've already had the work that's been completed is just it's just beautiful. The first one, that money will be utilized in finishing numerous things on the inside. We passed $120 million. And the good news is we have a lot of bonds that are going to be coming off in 18 and 20. And quite frankly, it just other than going out for the bond, but paying for the bond indebtedness, there's just a lot of money there that can help us pay for that. So I was very, very pleased that the members supported that bond proposal. And again, it won't happen tomorrow. When the first one drops out, it's just in the pipeline. And I'm confident the Senate will pass it. And then the other one, we've had this bill here numerous times, and that's the it's been called e-fairness. But the bottom line to it is the sales tax on the Internet sales tax. Mm-hmm. Representative Caldwell from the Enid area ran that bill. It was very close, had to keep the vote open. But the good news is I'm very frustrated. Our retailers throughout the entire state of Oklahoma, they're not on a level playing field. They're in our communities. They're paying workman's comp. They're paying their insurance. They're paying taxes. They're meeting a payroll. And the Internet is not, they're not part of that. And I'm just very pleased, as far as I'm concerned, that will help level the playing field. In fact, Senator Ford has a bill similar to that, and hope that gets to the Senate and passes. But I was very pleased.
That was also a proposal, I think, by the Municipal League, because it's going to help
absolutely.
Cities a lot, too.
They were very supportive of it, very supportive of it. And the other one is just, you know, the update on the budget is just numerous conversations are going on. A lot of the small working groups I've had in place, they're reporting back, and just a lot of activity around the budget. But by no means am I ready to announce today that we have a budget.
Well, if we have time, maybe this time or next time, because you're taking money out of the rainy day fund for this year, this fiscal year, how that could affect what you're talking about for next fiscal year. Representative Dunlap, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having us, Charlie, and thank you, Representative Sears, giving a really good update on those issues. I'll talk about a few things. It was a long week. Mm-hmm. We worked hard. I'm tired today. I don't know about these gentlemen, but I'll try to get caught up on sleep and rest. As the week goes on, I want to talk about some things we did in the legislature this past 2 weeks about drones. So drones is an issue that will be important going forward. This week in the legislature, we passed a bill that would limit the government from using drones to gather information. And so the Oklahoma State government will not be flying drones over your property if this bill makes it all the way through the process.
And then there was a bill, I assume, I'm just trying to clarify, it's state government.
County
government, city government, federal government.
County governments are an extension of the state government, and so that would apply there. I imagine that the law does apply as well to municipalities in the state. I'm not a lawyer, and so I can't answer that question with 100% certainty, but that makes sense to me. The other thing that we did in regards to drone legislation is to protect the critical infrastructure of our industries here in the state. And so if you have pipelines, if you have refineries, if you have some infrastructure that's going to be serving all of Oklahoma's power plants, then you are not, as a citizen, allowed to fly your drones over those facilities. And so I think that's a very fair way to go about policy in that regard going forward. So. And then I will also make a comment on this week. Many people have seen in the news, we dealt with some gun legislation in the House. And so there's plenty of media out there on that. I won't need to make any comment on that other than I supported that and look forward to the discussion going forward.
In case people missed it, that has to do with open carry but without a license. Am I correct on that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. That's it. And then the other thing that we did in the House this week, it took a lot of time. It didn't need to take a lot of time, but it did, was the proposal to put the removal of the Blaine Amendment on your state ballot coming up in November. And what this will do is that you, as a people, will go to the polls in November and vote on whether or not you want to remove this amendment from the Constitution. And what you will be doing by removing this amendment is taking away the argument that the Oklahoma Supreme Court used to remove the Ten Commandments statue from the Capitol grounds. Now, the House received a little bit of criticism for taking so much time on that during this deadline week, but it didn't need to take a lot of time. And so there are certain people, and maybe the same people who are complaining that it took a long time, who made it take a long time. And so I'll just leave it at that, and for the listeners to fill in the blanks. But those are some of the things we did in the House. There'll also be some more ballot measures coming to you, but I need to make sure that Senator Ford gets some time with the microphone.
Okay, well, because we got an early start, Senator, we are effectively just a couple, 5 minutes into the program, so let's talk education or any Senate work that you want to talk about.
Well, Charlie, thank you, and I think between Representative Sears, Representative Dunlap, they've talked about a lot of the legislation, and deadline weeks are interesting, and in a way, this is my last deadline week as far as deadline for Senate bills getting out of the Senate. And we did some things internally, not the bills we voted on, but when you have high-profile issues and strong feelings on both sides, there is a lot of emotion, there is a lot of debate. But what makes me so proud to be part of the process is on some of the issues, we had one where we met as a caucus. And in that caucus, you really talk from your heart. You talk about either why, and some of our members support an issue, some don't support an issue. And it's really a good opportunity to really get into an issue and maybe as a caucus decide this is the time, it isn't the time. But there are a lot of issues that way, and that's what government is good about, because we do have the opportunity to bring people in that represent all the citizens of Oklahoma and together decide as a group what we think is best right now. There's always going to be people on both sides of that issue. Some will be very pleased. Some will be very discouraged. Thing we need to know that we don't always do the right thing the first time. If it's not quite right, there are opportunities to come back and work on it. So it's just a very good week, very frustrating week, but also I think very rewarding because the system does work.
Since you do chair the Senate Education Committee, and because the superintendent was in town, just overall, I know, of course, our program being brought to you by Phillips 66 this morning. Mm-hmm. Locally, that's got to be some good things as far as just education within Bartlesville, within Washington County.
Well, first of all, what Phillips 66 did with the STEM Center at the high school, that is phenomenal. STEM being science, technology, engineering, and math. Those are the type of jobs that are in the future going to be so in demand. And that's why I'm proud of our community and proud of Phillips 66 for helping us be able to prepare the students for the future. Superintendent Hoffmeister, she and I talked several times, and she was so pleased to be able to come up and make comments. And I have heard from so many people that her comments were just very supportive of what our community does. And that's why one of the reasons back in 2003 when I retired from Phillips, I made the decision to stay in Bartlesville, because this is a wonderful place to live. The education we have here is tremendous. It's second to none in the state.
What education measures are yet to be worked out? I know you've got bills obviously coming over from the House now, but as far as end of instruction testing, you were able to act on that on the Senate side of things?
End of instruction, to eliminate the end of instruction. We did pass that unanimously in the Senate. Dennis Casey, the representative, now has that bill in the House. Hopefully it's going to have the same end result there, but you never know, because discussions always come up and willing to compromise. Representative Sears talked about Representative Caldwell's bill on internet sales tax. I am his Senate author. I have a Senate bill that I've worked with the Tax Commission that passed out of the Senate. He is my House author. So we're going to be working together, and are there any compromises, any fine-tuning to either one of those bills, so that when we go forward, and this has a potential of bringing into the state about $80 to $90 million a year, bringing $60 to $70 million to the cities and counties, and it is not a new tax. It is a tax that is in place. And today, unfortunately, it's unfortunately for those who benefit from that tax, it's up to the individual citizen at the end of the year when they file their taxes to declare how much they should have paid and pay it at that time. I think a lot of our citizens don't realize they need to do that.
Only about 4%, according to official information.
Right. It's very, very low. So what this bill does, and it's a fairness issue, I think, for our local merchants, because they certainly collect the sales tax that helps our state, helps our communities. This just would require the, and a lot of the retailers, the internet retailers, already collect tax. Walmart, Target, all of those. The big ones are Amazon and Overstock.com. And it gets into a nexus. Do they have a physical presence in the state? And they do not. So we're looking at either at federal legislation or some federal court rulings that need to be made. But we just need to make sure that when we legally can do it, Oklahoma has everything in place so that we can start collecting it as quickly as possible.
Okay. Chairman's here, so we have a little bit more time. If you have other items, budget or otherwise related for us this morning.
Well, the only thing, your question on the budget, let our listeners know, there's $385 million in the rainy day fund. We had already booked about $144 that we can automatically use. We used that 51 and 27, that 58.5, excuse me, 78.5 of part of that $144. Now then, the decision has not been made. We're still talking. We'll definitely use the rest of that portion of 144, but we even could possibly add more to it. We're still just all kinds of ideas are being looked at and proposals. But again, Charlie, any proposal I put in front of me, it's not a pretty sight. It's just not. I have several budgets that keeps education flat. I have one that keeps them at about a 1% reduction, corrections flat. But when you do, and I have numerous other things I could say, but when you do all the ones and those agencies that you want, core government, you want to keep low, that kicks everybody else up. And they're extremely high cuts. And remember, they've already received a 7% reduction, 3% back in January, and 4%. That'll, I think, it just goes into effect like Wednesday of next week. So it's not pretty, but on the same token, good news is oil is up. It's about $38, $39 a barrel today. You know, I've preached this from the rooftops. Never forget the budget that's now in place. It's running this great state. We built that budget on $57.55 per barrel of oil. And, you know, you don't have to be an economist to figure out that there's a shortfall there. And But we're dealing with it. I'm very, very proud, and I, again, just as equally proud as the Senate. But I know firsthand what we're doing on the House side. We got a lot of working groups. Again, brag on Representative Dunlap. He is very, very engaged and involved in my little working group on tax and revenue and what we're looking at doing on sales tax exemptions and apportionments. He's very engaged in that. And then I have there's three other groups working on in regards to other issues as well. Quite frankly, we absolutely are working diligently to come up with the teacher pay raise, but we want to pay for it, and we got to find a way to pay for it. We know it. We get it. It has nothing to do with the outcry or trying to win re-election. It's just the right thing to do. Our teachers need a pay raise. But that journey is still going on.
Okay, well, gentlemen, unless there's something else, I mean, like I said, we did get an early start. So,
well, let me just put it in perspective. In the Senate, we introduced about 1,200 bills. We passed 274. So that's what we're sending to the House. I don't know if you know how many you passed, but it's generally about the same number. So the next 3 weeks in the Senate, we're going to start looking at House bills in our committee. They're going to be doing the same thing. The process is starting. So once again, if our citizens really like a bill, don't get too excited yet. And if you really dislike it, don't get too discouraged, but just let us know how you feel. Other than that, Phillip 66, thank you very much for sponsoring this. And Charlie, you and Kevin and everybody here at the radio station, we appreciate you very much.
Well, and of course, you're going to be speaking to the Ramon Chamber tonight.
I am. Absolutely.
Yeah. Tickets are still available. You can call 918-671-1919 or 718-798-8711. And gentlemen, that's Capital Call. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie.
All right. Sounds good to me. And we'll find out more from these guys next week on K1.
At Phillips 66 Gas, we strive to bring you the best in performance gasoline. But now we want to find the Phillips 66 of other things. Like Pee Wee linebacker Holden Hansen. He tackles quarterbacks like we tackle dirty injectors. He dislodges pigskins like we dislodge engine deposits. That's why he's the Phillips 66 of Pee Wee linebackers. For the Phillips 66 of gas, visit your local Phillips 66 station. We've been working for over 80 years to bring you the best in performance.